G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
realfaith.org.au
I think by the time I got to my mid-30s, I didn't even want to pray with people in the front of church. I was asked into ladies' leadership through our church, but that was just too scary. I'd have to pray out loud with other people. So I really knew my confidence wasn't good. Those that knew me at the time, they always used to say how timid I was. I would be too scared to answer the phone, too scared to talk to people. But, you know, I honestly remember God saying He saw the potential in me.
Welcome to Real Faith, conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Well, last time on the program, we spoke with Ruth Price from New Zealand, who shared with us about what it was like growing up with a parent struggling with a mental illness. We heard about the many challenges she faced and that her mother was eventually diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, which sometimes includes delusions and an inability to tell the difference between what is real and what isn't. But today, as we hear more of Ruth's story, we'll find out that despite the unique challenges she went through, God was still at work, reeling her in and bringing her closer and closer to Him. Now here's more of my conversation with Ruth Price. Ruth Price, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Eric. It's good to be here.
Glad to have you with us once again. And yes, we heard last time the general impression was because your mother had this mental illness, you didn't know if at any moment you could get a phone call from a hospital or a police officer or somebody saying, come get your mother because she's somewhere doing something that needs to be taken care of. Is that kind of what was happening in your life at that point?
Yeah, that was what was happened. We didn't know when that call would come, so tried to do the best we could at the time.
Okay, so now let's continue your story. You grew up in New Zealand. Specifically, your family was living in Auckland, New Zealand. And then let's find out about the time when you decided to move to Australia.
Well, it was probably 2008, looking back, or 2007 when I first started talking about it. And as a couple, our children had all got married or left home by that stage. So already had one daughter in Australia. The second one who just got married, she also followed her sister. So I think we were sort of slowly working our way over here.
Mm-hmm. So at the time, you had been your mother's caregiver, is that right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I remember talking to her actually that we were considering going, and that was one of her triggers, which was very hard. Obviously, she didn't want me to go in her own way, though she didn't actually say that. For me, I recognised that. But for me, I had to make a decision. Obviously, God's calling us to Australia, but I didn't want to leave her behind. But at the same time, I had my own daughter, my younger one, who was pregnant with her own children. I wanted to be there for her, which I didn't have, as my mother was there for my children at that time because of her situation.
That must have been difficult. You're kind of torn between you love your mother, but your mother yourself, and you love your daughter. So that must have been hard.
Very, very difficult. But, you know, I really had to know it was God's leading for us as a couple, though, at that time. So I don't think I could have done it without God and knowing His leading.
So eventually you moved to Australia, and then who took care of your mother?
I realized that I had to pass her care over to my sister. Mm-hmm. So she would be the one to talk to the hospitals, be the contact they needed, that next of kin person when, you know, anything legal happened. But later on, in my mum's probably mid-80s by this point, my brother got involved. He lived in Germany, believe it or not.
Wow.
Though he had the time to give what was needed. And my mother, with her particular illness, she did not like being in hospital. She was always very against that. So he actually did an amazing job. He helped her live at home. He did all the caring remotely, keeping in touch with various carers that came into her home. See, by this time, you know, she was able to get government help and support to do that. Perhaps a personal carer to come in once a day, help her shower, things like that, as her health declined towards her latter years. So he actually had like cameras or sensors going on inside the house. They do that overseas, you know, in a lot of the remote, you know, parents that are living who are elderly. And it's amazing what they can do. And I, you know, really thank him for what he did do in those last few years that she could live at home until she passed.
So he managed her care remotely from Germany, and she's in New Zealand.
Yeah, he had a great team of you know, care workers that he actually had got around to her with the care. So that was always good to know.
And you said that your mother then eventually passed away?
Yeah, she did. It was only 18 months ago. She had a few health conditions which led to that. Yeah, so it wasn't easy. I tried to get home as much as I could, mostly either once or twice a year, just for that visit and spend a fleeting time. So that was mostly my contact with her after that time when I left here.
Now, was she a Christian? Do you know?
Well, I actually had the real joy being a brand new Christian sort of in my early 20s. Back in that time we talked about, I had the opportunity to take her to a Louis Palau meeting. It was, he'd doing this big rally in Auckland, and I was on the team that took Salvations, the counselling team as we called it back then, and she came with me. And I remember her wanting to go forward or respond to the call they had. But I said to her, I says, it's not just because I'm there, is it? You know, you're not just doing it for that reason. And she goes, no, I really want to go forward. Now, that was the interesting thing, because I really knew in my heart she was saved. That didn't really seem apparent in her lifestyle. I found when she was on medication during those hospital stays, she'd find herself in church groups, helping just that community connection for her. Mm-hmm. But the times where it was most apparent with her mental illness, she wasn't, the Christianity side of things wasn't really talked about, or you did question it, but I just knew in my heart, and I really believe God sees the heart of people, and he knows and he sees that connection. So I always had that assurance of her faith, and I believe when she passed that she is with him. I have no doubts in my heart about that, actually. So it's always good to hold on to that.
So that's more or less the story of your relationship with your mother and the ups and downs and the unique challenges that you faced. At this point, let's go back to your childhood and trace your story, your own personal story, and how the Lord worked in your life. Now, based on everything we've heard, there would be every reason for you to be very confused, especially about God and where he fit in everything in your childhood. But what was your spiritual journey growing up in a very dysfunctional family?
Well, I think my parents had some sort of nominal traditional Christian heritage. I was sent to Sunday school a couple of times. I think my mum organised that. I also recall, you know, being asked to the occasional youth group or the Bible study by friends. Two teachers that I particularly had at high school who were Christian, for some reason, they always impacted me. I never knew really why. I just knew there was something different. But I think something at that point was really starting to tug at my heart. I didn't know what. I didn't understand it. But, you know, I think I was about the age of 16, actually. I just moved house and schools once again, and I found myself reading. And it was Nicky Cruz's book, Run, Baby, Run.
Oh, okay. Yep. It's kind of a classic.
I think it was actually school reading at the time. I'm not sure. I presume I got it from the school library.
We should say that Nicky Cruz was kind of a gang member in a ghetto in the United States somewhere, and in the rough and tough gang life.
David Wilkinson's, he was, you know, came through his teaching, I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The Cross and the Switchblade is the book by David Wilkerson. So those were the stories. I think that's in the 60s. But it's a very powerful transformation where he goes from being a rough and tumble gang member to being a Christian, and he's still ministering to this day. So his life story really had an impact on you.
Yeah, it was. So it was in the late 70s by this point. And I think I was at a point, I was 16 years old, as I said, I wasn't coping with life. And, you know, there were some very dark places for me. I just wanted to, I guess, end it all at that point. I didn't really know what. I didn't even know what I was searching for either at that point. So when I was reading that book, you know, I remember being flooded with tears and crying out to God. Like I said, not that I knew what God, who he really was. But looking back, I guess I think, you know, that's probably what we would call that, being touched by the Holy Spirit. It did take me, though, another 5 years before I did finally go forward for salvation.
Our guest today is Ruth Price from New Zealand. And as we've been hearing, God has been at work in her life, reeling her in and bringing her closer and closer to him. Next, we'll hear how God transforms her from being someone who's kind of timid to someone who's now helping others gain confidence. All that and more is coming up when we return right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and today, once again, I'm chatting with Ruth Price from New Zealand. As we heard before the break, God was working in her life and helping her overcome some of the challenges from her confusing childhood, growing up with a parent with a mental illness. Now we're going to hear more of Ruth's story. Let's go back to what was going on inside of you. Obviously, we know that you're confused about what's happening with your mother, but it sounds like you're having struggles of your own as far as going from at one point wanting to possibly end your life to on the other side thinking about going overseas and going on adventures. So you were kind of vacillating between these two views?
Yeah, I guess I was the typical teenager, and I would daydream a lot about finishing school, heading overseas for that big overseas adventure, as you said, like many other teens at the time. So,
but yet having dark thoughts.
I guess I just wasn't coping at the time. I don't think I ever would have eventuated, but I was heading down that kind of thought pattern, I guess. I was still at school, high school at this time. So, but you know, the neat thing is though, Eric, it was about this time after reading that and I called out to God that my life took another turn.
Oh, let's hear about that.
Yeah, well, I kind of met Dave, my now husband of nearly 40 years, within a month after reading that book, and he lived on the opposite side of Auckland. An interesting fact though, I was the girl who took him away from that nice Christian girl he was going out with.
Oh, and you weren't a Christian yet at that point?
No, like I said, it was another 5 years before I did finally go forward. And that was a journey. Like I said, it was very much God reeling me in. If you like fishing, that was me.
So you're kind of like a fish on the line and he's gently kind of reeling you in. Is that kind of the mental imagery you're getting at?
That's exactly how it felt. Yeah, yeah.
Little by little, he's kind of working in your life?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, my mother-in-law, like I said, she might have been horrified at the time, but she was my Naomi of sorts, you know, with my name being Ruth and all. And she was actually the one that I used to copy when I became a parent. I'd want to do things the way she did things. But this particular time, you know, she told me that God was coming back in 1988, you know, back when that was the in thing at the time.
Oh, yeah. There was a false prophet who said something like 88 reasons for 88 that Jesus was going to return. Obviously, that turned out to not be true, but it was something that people were talking about back in the 80s.
Yeah, well, I just remember that New Year's Eve so clearly between 1979 to 1980. I think I'd known my then boyfriend for about 2 years at that point. I just knew I didn't want to be left behind from something I didn't quite understand. But so I guess it was just starting to deepen and searching was happening in my heart.
And then what happened next in your life? Your relationship with Dave progressed?
Yeah, well, actually, we ended up getting married about the age of 19, we'd already purchased our first home, despite not being Christians yet. Our three neighbours that completely surrounded where we lived were all from Auckland's biggest Assemblies of God church.
Oh, God was putting seeds in your life?
Absolutely. I remember our neighbour saying that, you know, she worried about us, but then she saw the one-way Jesus sticker on the back of my father-in-law's car. So she thought, it's all okay now, it's in God's hands. But she was actually the very first person I told I gave my heart to the Lord, actually. So, you know, it was about a year later. That, you know, we had our first baby, Hayley, who needed to be christened. And, you know, this found us at my mother-in-law's church where we'd been married. And instead of the usual one meeting with the Anglican minister, we had three. So lots of conversations about God. I think he was trying to, was pulling us in.
Yeah. How did you finally put your faith in Jesus?
Yeah, well, it was from there. He invited me to a ladies group at the church. You know, they took me under their wing a little bit, took me along to a Women's Aglow meeting. And for those in New Zealand, we'll know of Bill Zabritsky, where he was speaking. I don't particularly remember a great message at the time, but somehow I ended up at the front of that meeting. Still not sure how I got there, but in all honesty, you know, from that moment, I haven't looked back.
So finally, going back to your fishing metaphor, he finally got you in the boat, so to speak.
Absolutely. And being from Auckland, you know, it's a city of sails, city of boats.
So how did you grow from then?
Well, within the first year, we were now at a Baptist church. I was baptized. A word God had given to me at the time was I'd have the gift of hospitality. And that seems impossible for someone with my past, you know, total isolation, didn't have that social kind of connection. So never knew how that was going to happen, but I did have a heart for hosting people, inviting them either to a meal or even here in my later life. You know, I'm surrounded by people now and I just love what God's done.
And then eventually you lived for a year at a Christian Bible school, is that right?
We did. Ended up having my third child while I got pregnant there at the time. It was an amazing time, Christian Bible school / community, because it was a very combination on Great Barrier Island. Orama was the place, for Kiwis might remember that. That was a wonderful year, but it was a huge learning curve, of course. You know, I was still very young, mid-20s.
Mm-hmm. So growing up, because of all of the struggles and uncertainty in your home life, you were pretty timid, is that right?
Oh, there's lots of things in my life, not just with my home life. There was other things, I think, which caused my confidence to be very low. Yeah, so I think by the time I got to my mid-30s, I didn't even want to pray with people in the front of church. I was asked into ladies' leadership through our church, but that was just too scary. I'd have to pray out loud with other people. So I really knew my confidence wasn't good. But, you know, God's great, and he did rescue me. He carried me through, and I was still at home for the 16 years, I think, I was managing to be a stay-at-home mum, which was such an honour and a blessing. Hayley, this baby, was now 16 by this point, and, you know, I was looking at returning to the workforce, but I thought I had no skills whatsoever. I mean, I was 20 when I had her, so I've been out of the workforce for a long time. And I got volunteered into a voluntary position at Radio Rema in New Zealand, one of the biggest Christian ministries at the time. So it was amazing. I think those that knew me at the time, they always used to say how timid I was. I would be too scared to answer the phone, too scared to talk to people. But, you know, I honestly remember God saying he saw the potential in me that either I didn't see or others didn't let me see. So I kind of had this confidence that he was going to help me grow. Also, I remember him saying at that time, I think I was opening mail, processing donations or whatever the case may be. And I felt him say, I've trusted you with little, now I'm trusting you with much. And that was the ministry he, you know, first took me into. So it was was amazing.
So it sounds like little by little at the Christian radio station, the Christian radio network in New Zealand, your confidence was growing and God was kind of developing you.
Oh, absolutely. And he took me through all kinds of growth periods through that journey. I've been with the ministry there in New Zealand and now here in Australia for 23 years, I think it is now. And I look back and think, how did this person, who was this person back then, has ended up? I mean, I still get timid. I still get nervous sometimes, but, you know, hey, I'm human.
Yeah, you are human.
Yeah. But you know what, Eric? I love watching others grow now, and that's been my heart.
Let's fast forward to the present. You are now in charge of a call center that is responsible for praying with people.
Yeah, I always laugh God's sense of humor in this, and I often say it, you know, somebody who was terrified of praying in front of people, terrified of talking. So what does he do? He puts me into a broadcasting organization, leading the prayer ministry, and go figure.
Yeah. So what is it that you like the most about praying with people?
I just know that God is very, very real. I know that he's there in our situation. We can depend upon him. He's just really waiting for us to call out to him and to ask him to keep that conversation happening. So has that trust, I guess. It's very much my faith. I love David in the Psalms. And, you know, David told God when it was bad. He told God when it was good. But he was real.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And, you know, he loves me. And despite all that I've been through, I know he's taken me through, he's protected me, he's nurtured me, and he's, you know, he's brought me even as a parent, he's given me things. You know, we have a very close family, my children are still very close with us now, which is very, very special, so I thank him for that so much.
And I know from speaking with you earlier that you are passionate about helping other people grow. Tell us about that.
Well, I'll give you an example here in the prayer team. I watch people come on board and, you know, they've got this heart to pray. And there's one particular girl who's on our team and she was very, very timid herself when she started praying with others on the phone, mm-hmm. even though she had the heart. But I watch, mm-hmm. have watched her grow, and she now has others in her community outside of here where they come up and ask her to pray all the time. And, and she even leads meetings. You know, she might lead communion. It's just beautiful. I love watching people grow, especially where they've got that right heart and the potential that they've got, and just helping to develop that.
Yeah, so you saw God do that to you, take you from being timid to being confident enough to pray with people. Then you see somebody come in timid like you were, and you see them grow to the point where they're confident. I mean, that's got to be incredibly gratifying.
Oh, it is. And that's why I love just being here, you know, being in this ministry now. It's just watching others just have that connection, and watching the God moments as well in their conversations as they're praying with people. And it's special. I love it. Mm.
Now, if someone's listening today and they can identify with some of the challenges you've gone through, maybe they have a parent or a close personal loved one who has a mental illness, so they can identify with the challenges. Any words of encouragement or advice you'd have for them?
Really just trust God for the outcome for their lives. Definitely pray for their salvation, that they would have that relationship. Sometimes it's letting God walk through the journey with you. It doesn't always get fixed in that situation, but he's there with you and you're not alone. He will never leave or forsake you. So, and call out to support, call out to others to pray, gather around you. Like I said back, you know, it was wonderful. My pastor's wife really helping me through a time that was good to have, just to know that it's actually okay. And yeah, trust God will lead you through it.
And finally, how is your father doing?
Well, my dad was still praying that he accepts Jesus. He's 93 now. 18 months ago, actually, this was the same month my mother passed, he was told he had aggressive esophagus cancer and would only survive 6 months without treatment, which, you know, he opted not to have. It was interesting. I know here I had others praying with me for his salvation, and all of a sudden, that cancer has become a non-issue. I'm not sure what happened.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He's still struggling with dementia. So he's still happy. So he's going on still, even though he's 93. So
we pray that he comes to know the Lord before he passes away.
Absolutely. It's my prayer, my heart.
Anything else you'd like to add today?
I guess back with my children, I know that they found various things which were quite different. You did mention it earlier. I mean, I was talking to my son, actually, and his younger sister. You know, how did you find things growing up? And they said things like, well, the presents were weird. Though you mentioned earlier about protecting the children, and I guess I did to a certain degree from the different kind of ways. Like the presents, I would actually open them first to see what they were.
Oh, you're talking about when your mother, having a mental illness, would get strange gifts for your children?
Oh, absolutely strange things.
So you would open them up first just to see what they were?
And in the end, I think I stopped giving them, which was probably the wrong thing. Hmm. My youngest daughter, she says, oh, I used to love your mum's presents. They were kind of different and I loved playing with them, or I loved them or something, you know, which is totally unexpected.
Well, you have me curious now. What kind of things would she give?
Oh, maybe some little pencils, but that wasn't so much. It was more maybe a plant, seeds of a plant, but then, or books off the shelf, or just, you know, tiny little things. But I strived for normality, I think. Probably as bringing in my family, over the years, I have strived, for that normality, I have the Christmas is my thing. I love to do Christmas big, which I never had as a child, even though I love camping and mum did best. For me now, I go all out, and, you know, you just ask my oldest daughter, and she's just got this thing.
Yeah.
Even as an adult, she would still come back Christmas Eve and stay there. So she'd have the Christmas stockings, or we still have the little gifts for each other. And I have the big Christmas meal. I do the whole full hot cooked dinner.
Yeah, so you've kind of made your own family tradition because you didn't have that growing up.
Oh, I did. And like I said, I think I started copying this from my mother-in-law, the way she did things. And I started mimicking a lot of that. But then it's become so strong. We've got our own family traditions, like you said. So yeah, we spend the whole day together as a family on Christmas Day now. I mean,
oh, it's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's wonderful. So through the Lord and through having different role models, you're kind of backfilling, I guess you could say, some of the things that you missed from your childhood.
I think so. And, you know, one of the things, like I mentioned, hospitality is that now, over the years at my working life, we have events. And I just love hosting those. I have my moments. I love to party everything up, like the a-thons. I love putting all the balloons up. Birthday is always a big thing in our family as well. I love getting all the balloons and making a big deal about it. So that's always one of the things I love. I love having these events.
So it sounds like even though you've gone through some very strange times, the Lord is really filling your cup to overflowing with all these different experiences that you're doing now.
Oh, he really is. I really look at it as that God took the least of these and he's turned it into something. And it's still a work in progress. It's no denying that.
Yeah, we all are. Yep.
So, but, you know, he can use, you know, when we think we haven't got nothing to offer, as long as we've got that willing heart, it's just wonderful to be open and see what he can do. And it's, you know, it's quite an exciting journey, actually.
Amen. Ruth Price, thank you so much for sharing that wonderful journey with us today.
Oh, it's a privilege. Thank you for having me.
Our guest today was once again Ruth Price from New Zealand. Thank you so much for joining us for Ruth's inspiring story. And until next time, I'm Eric Scatabo. So long, and God bless.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au.
Real Faith is a production of Vision Christian Media.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.